Okay, we're starting at the Mishnah on Ayin Tet Amud Bet. Naflula avadim ushvachot zekenim. Okay, remember we're in the middle of this whole discussion of things that fall to the woman and what the husband's rights are to them. He generally gets payout. So now what if there are shvachot or avadim that are zekenim? We're worried that there's going to be nothing left of the Karen after. So yimachru v'yilakach mehem karka. So what do? We sell them, and then we buy land with them, just like we saw before, right? If something's going to, like the peirot, right? If it's just peirot in a field, so what do? We sell them and we take karka. V'hu ochel peirot. And then he gets the peirot from the karka. Rashbag omer lo timkor mipnei shehen shevach beit aviv. He says these are things, there's a machloket here, about whether we consider these avadim u'shvachot zkenim, as, you know, we just want to look at them for their money value. Or do we say, no, she doesn't want them sold because these belong to her family and she doesn't want to not have them. Naflu la zeitim ugfanim zekenim. The same thing. What if there is zeitim ugfanim that are old? Yimachru v'yilakach mehem bahem karka v'ochel peirot. Again, the interest of Tanakhama is always, what's the best way to make more money out of this, right? And to have a stable peirot coming out and not to destroy the karka, the karen of it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, here it's interesting, just that Rashbag disagrees on the first case and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on the second case, this along the exact same lines, which then you'd have to say maybe Rashbag wouldn't agree or Rabbi Yehuda wouldn't agree in the other case, right? Each one says it specifically for their case. Lo timkor mipnei shehen shevach beit aviyah. These old, right, you can think about people who have these old trees, there's sentimental value to it and she doesn't want them sold. Okay. Amarav kahal amarav. Machloket shenaflu basadeh shela. Aval basadeh she'ena shela divrei hakol timkor mishum dekakal yakarna. This is only, the machloket they're having is only if it falls in a field that she owns the field. But if the field doesn't belong to her and she just owns a tree within the field, then everyone agrees that you can sell it because in the end you'll really be left with nothing. Whereas if it's her field, so you still have a field, you could grow new things. It's karka, exactly. Exactly. Mat kiplar of Yosef, hare avadim ushvachot, dechi sadeh she'eno shela adame, upligi. But what do you mean? The sadeh, right? If you say it's in a field she'eno shela, right? Everyone would agree that you could sell. Well, then the avadim are like that because the avadim don't have any karka connected to them, right? And you see, though, there's still a machloket. So that can't be the case. Ela itmar hachi itmar. So it must be that this is what Rav Kahana said. Am Rav Kahana, Rav, machloket besadeh she'eno shela. The machloket is dafka when it's in a field that she doesn't own. Aval besadeh shela, now we're going to go the other direction. If it's in her field, divrei hakol lo timkor mipnei shevach beit aviya. If it's in her field, then everyone agrees. So now you have the case, if it's in a field that's not hers, in which case it's similar to which case? The shvachot, right? The avadim shvachot case, where there's a machloket about it. So in that case, there's a machloket. But if the field belongs to her, then everyone agrees that she can't sell it, because then it's got sentimental value. Okay, new Mishnah. Hamotzi, this is a really interesting Mishnah. Hamotzi hotza'ot al nechse ishto. What if he invested money into this, right? What happens basically? Remember, the whole reason we made this takana is for what reason? It's really the nechse meluga hers. But we say that the husband can eat payroll because we want the stuff to be taken care of properly. So now that means that the husband is going to also need to invest money in it. So what if he invests money in her property? Okay. But then they get divorced before he gets to see the fruits of what he invested. Okay. So now does he say, hey, I invested this amount of money in your stuff, I want it back? Or let's say he does get benefit from it, but not very much, not worth what he invested in. So how do we view it? So the Mishnah says very clearly, hotzi harbe v'achal kima. Let's say he put in a lot of money and he only benefited a little bit, or kima, he put in a little bit v'achal harbe. Okay, the flip case. Maybe she can claim, hey, you know, you only put in very little and you took so much, I want some of that back. Masha hotzi, but the Mishnah says no. Masha hotzi, umasha achal achal. Whatever happened is history. we're now working from this moment on, and from this moment on, he has no rights to it. She has all rights to it, right? Once the divorce or the death happens. Doesn't matter what happened before, as long as what? He ate at least a little bit, okay? So now, what if though, hotzi v'lo achal? Let's say he invests and he ate nothing. He benefited zero. Okay, we're going to see how much is really zero, but okay. What's the difference between lo achal and achal kim'ah? Okay, that's going to be the Gemara's first question. What happens then? Yishava kama hotzi v'yitol. He has to swear because we don't really trust him, right? We don't know how much he really put in. No one has a way of tracking that, okay? So he has to swear, I put in this amount, and then he gets to walk out with that amount. Now, we're going to see that it's not necessarily in all cases, but we'll get to that soon. V'kama kim'ah, the Gemara starts out right away and says, so what's a little bit that he benefited? Am Rabbi Asi, afilu groger tachat. Even if he ate one, I think it's a date, right? One date.
Dried fig.
Well, it's a fig. Thank you. One dried fig. Okay? If he eats one dried fig, okay? B'tnai that what? This is a good one. V'hush achla derech kavod. It has to be he ate it in a respectful manner, meaning he didn't just eat it on the run, stick it in his mouth and run off, you know, while he was in the field or something. But he sat at the table, he ate this one fig, and he benefited. That's enough.
But at some level, it's suggesting the time has passed because it's not a fresh fig in the field. It's a fig that, like, If it's dried, then clearly there's been some time that passed since he invested in the field, if he got the fig.
But what does it matter if there's time passed or not?
Otherwise, the point why is, would they say dried fig instead of fig? I
mean, but I'm saying, what's the relevance of what you're saying, whether time passed or not?
It suggests that there, in that amount of time, there might have been other benefit. That if in the time it took to dry a fig, there must
have been. Yeah, but the assumption is here he really didn't benefit from anything else. That was the only thing he benefited from. Again, I don't think they ate fresh figs so much because they always dry them. So it could be the only thing was a fig tree, and he waited till the first one was dried. He sat down and ate it, and then they got divorced.
Okay.
You could say it wasn't so smart of him to divorce her at that moment. He should have, right? And what's interesting is he has the control here. You know, you would think he would be smart enough, since the finances go, you know, against him, that he would be smart enough to. But it could be he died actually, and then obviously there's no control over that. Maybe he dried it, died from eating the fig. Okay. So now, so the point is, this is the only benefit, though, he got. Okay? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amrei Bei Rav. Okay? Rabbi Abba said that they say in the house of Rav, Afilu Shigra Ditmare. Okay? Even they would press these dates together. Okay? So even, how do they define the Shigra?
A liter-sized cake.
Like a liter, I think. It's like a certain amount, a certain size of a cake.
A volume measure equal to a log, which is six egg volumes.
Okay. So he says, right, this is a much bigger amount, okay, because it's a whole bunch of pressed dates. Okay, we've seen this in the Gemara before, thing of pressed dates.
Right.
Yeah, these cakes they would make. Okay, so even if it's pressed, so he's saying it needs to be a bit of a larger amount. Okay, right. Some people say, right, I remember this, there was a different, some people say it's more like an eshkol of dates, a cluster. Okay, and then even if they're fresh. So different opinions about what exactly this is. By Rabibi, chuvta ditmare mai, what if it's this is something that's not so great, it's the stuff that's left after you make the date beer. Okay, they would make beer out of dates. And what if you ate the stuff that was left at the bottom? Okay? So, the answer, tekuv. They don't know the answer. In other words, it's not really something very respectful, the stuff that's left at the bottom. And if that's what he ate, is that considered hana'ah or not? Okay. So there's a whole machloket about what exactly is the small amount that he ate. Okay? Unclear. But it definitely isn't a large amount, right? It's something small, whether it be really small or kind of small. Derech kavod mai. Okay, what about this derech kavod? What does it mean, derech kavod? Amar ula plige batre amorai b'marava. Chad amar. Okay, so now, one second, there's something. Why is this different than... Right, so we said he had to eat the kima derech kavod, the little bit derech kavod, but here it's also really discussing the shir achila. So why is it... Ah, right. The shir achila... Sorry, I read it wrong. That's why. Okay, I knew something didn't make sense. Okay, lo, I missed the lo. Lo achla derech kavod mai. What if he doesn't eat it derech kavod? And as we said, even if he eats a small amount, as long as he eats it derech kavod, right? That was the grogeret achavu shachla derech kavod. But now they say, what if he ate a larger amount, but shelo b'derech kavod? So how much do we say once you eat this large amount, shelo derech kavod, that already is considered beneficial? Okay? How do we relate to that? So now they say how much. So now we're going to value it by money. Chanamar b'kisar v'chanamar b'kidinar. Okay, now what's important to note is a dinar is 24 isarim. So it's a big difference, right? It's 24. Is that the right amount? Am I remembering correctly? Like it's 24? Yeah, okay, right. It's 24 isarim. And therefore, what we're talking about is a big difference between them, about whether it's an isar, which is not a lot, or a dinar, which is a lot. Okay? How much, though, is shelo derech kavod? So let's say you're sitting out in the field and you just grab a whole bunch of them and you eat them on the run. Depending on who you are, what you think, right? Whether it's an isar or a dinar, already that turns it into something significant, whether you ate it derech kavod or not. Okay. Do you have a question?
Yeah, because, I mean, it keeps in the back of my mind. There are different halachot concerning eating fruit of trees when you're picking or when you're in the field, mm-hmm. than when you're like bring them to the store or something. So why don't they bring it up that's the clear division that they're making?
Because here it's a different issue. We're trying to say, has he gotten any hana'ah from her stuff? So it's not necessarily the same thing as eating in the field. You're still benefiting, right? There's still hana'ah. That's our whole question. And then what kind of hana'ah is considered that he really got hana'ah?
Because you're working in the field and you take a fruit and you eat it or something for whatever reason. Because you're thirsty or hungry.
Yeah.
Or because you want to see how ripe the fruit is and, you know, right. how well it produced. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't seem like it's a
Why
hana'ah
is it any different?
In the sense of like serving it at a table and really getting pleasure out of eating the fruit, your own
right.
fruits.
Right. So that's what they're saying. A small amount, they'd agree with you. And then when it gets to a larger amount, then already you can't say he didn't get any benefit from what he did. Because he did. He benefited from it. Whether he benefited in the sense that he had a real meal or he benefited in some other way. But
I think there's symbolic ways of eating that shows like magiali. So like if you sit down at the table and you do it in a mechubad way, then you're like, well, this is mine because I've worked hard for it. And if you're eating a large amount, then you're also saying this is mine and I'm entitled to it. And it doesn't matter how you eat it because of the quantity. So I think that's what it's showing.
Okay.
The Gemara's trying to show you how he's saying it's magili, it's mine.
Right. Right.
That's the way I saw it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amri Dayanai de Pumbedita. Okay. The Dayanai of Pumbedita said, Ave Rav Yehuda Uvda b'chavilei zmorot. Okay. What does that mean? Here, we're seeing a case where Rav Yehuda said he benefited and therefore can't take back his investment. But how did he benefit? What are chavilei zmorot? It's what we feed to the animals. So he took the branches and he fed them to the animals. Okay, in some place it says that they feed this to the elephants. Chavilei zmorot. I don't know what the reality was, if they really had elephants or not. But anyway, there's a Gemara that talks about it, I saw. Anyway, chavilei zmorot, he got benefit not from himself eating, but even from his animals benefiting, and that was enough to say that that he can't now take his investment back. Now they're going to say, this is a very difficult text. Okay, I'm going to explain it in one manner. Either which way we explain it, it's somewhat difficult, but we'll try to explain it the way, I think it's the way Rashi goes. Rav Yehuda l'ta'ame. Rav Yehuda goes according to his... like l'shitato, the way he speaks in a different place. Da'amar Rav Yehuda. Now we're going to talk about a case of if you eat fruits of a field. Okay, there's something called a chazaka. What does that mean? If you've been living in land, okay, let's say I'll give a typical case. You've been living in the land property for 3 years and nobody's complained. That's enough to say, I have a chazaka on this land. If someone now claims after 3 years they come and say, this land is mine, you could say, no, it's mine. I've been living here. I can bring proof that I've been living here 3 years. Okay, or you could say, I've been eating the fruits of this field for 3 years. Okay, now, what if your field is Orla or Shvid? Okay, and Shnat Shemitah, what's the story? Everything's Hefker. So if you say, I've been eating, that doesn't mean anything, right? Or Kilaim. Okay, Kilaim also you can't eat. So now, what does Rabbi Huda say? If she ate Orla, I'm sorry, anyone, right? Achla, a woman ate Orla, Shvid, Bekilaim, Harezo Chazaka. Okay? You have a chazakah. Now, what do they explain this means? That it means that you were... Okay, this is an interesting thing. With each case, we're going to see that, yes, while the perech v'id are hefker, the chavilez morot, what we're going to say is we're talking here about the chavilez morot and not the fruits themselves. So when it comes to shvi'id, the fruits are hefker, but the branches aren't hefker. The branches belong to you. The orla, same thing. The fruits are usher, but the branches are not. The kilaim, it's a case, you have to explain, this is a little difficult about this one, that you didn't plant a kilaim, but you later, once the branches had grown, you somehow like worked something else in and made kilaim out of that. In which case, the branches don't have kilaim, but the fruits do. So they're giving, it's a very difficult perush. We're going to leave it as, this is a difficult, and that's why there's a whole other way of reading the sugya, but we're not going to get into it. Anyway, what they seem to imply here, according to this reading, is that Rabbi Yehuda takes things that are chavilez morot, and he treats them as if they have significance. Okay, so if you eat the chavilez morot for 3 years, even though generally it's an insignificant part, then we say it's a chazaka. Okay, and you have a chazaka, and therefore it's the same thing as the chavilez morot, where he fed them to his animals, and that was enough to get... That was enough to be considered that he got hana'ah. And if he therefore got hana'ah, then he can't claim, well, I want my money back that I invested in this field. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Amar Rav Chisda, Hamotzi hotza'ot al nechsei ishto ktana. Here's a great one. What if you spend money on nechasim that belong to a woman who is a ktana? Now, you have to explain here, it's not just a ktana. It's a ktana who was married by her mother or brother, in which case she can do miyun. Okay, so now what's the story? It's kimotzi al nechse acher dami. Okay, what does that mean? It's just like if you're motzi kesef on someone else's property, meaning that if you get benefit... Okay, so if you... Okay, now I have to get this all straight. If you are motzi al nechse acher, then we figure out... let me just get it straight. Basically... Okay, there's a bunch of different cases about motzi al nechse acher. There's motzi al nechse acher birashut. There's motzi al nechse acher shelo birashut. If you go into someone's field and just start working on their field, okay? You do it with their rashut. Then, basically, you... I have to get all this straight before I don't know how to, but 1 second. Okay, there's something called yored d'shtei chavero. Okay, if you go into someone's field. So the way it works is like this. If you go birashut and you plant his field, so you get a din like an aris. You're basically like a worker who gets a percentage because you've worked the field and you're required to get a percentage of the proceeds. But if you go shelo birashut, it depends. If he's already, if it was a field that he was going to plant anyway, okay, omed li nata. So then it's the same as Yorei B'Rishut and you get like an Aris. But if it was not meant to be Linata and you went in and did it anyway, then it's just like the case, the woman case is compared to that, the regular woman, where you can basically only get your investment, if you didn't get any benefit yet. Okay? But if you got some benefit, then you can't claim because he wasn't necessarily going to plant the field anyway. So it was your basic, you know, you started on this. Okay, so now, in the case of this woman, 1 second. Right, so then he becomes, with the Isha Ktana, if she's a minor, and she can do miun, so what do we say? What's the issue here? Okay, we're worried, here the Gemara is going to say it in a second, we're worried that what? Avdu be'rabanan takanta ki hechi de lo nifsidinhu. What are we worried? Here is this man. He's married to this woman. He knows that any minute she can do miyun, and she's going to just take her property and walk away. So what's the concern? That he's going to basically neglect her property. And the whole reason to say the nichsei muluk belong to the husband, again, we'll see it's not the only reason, but we're going to see later today. But one of the reasons is so that he doesn't destroy her property, right? That her property gets taken care of properly. So what did they say? When it's a ktana who is married up by her mother or brother, we're going to make her property as if it belongs to somebody else. In which case, if in the end she does miyun and walks out of the marriage, he gets a percentage like an aris. It's as if he walked into someone else's field, worked the field, and then he basically gets a percentage of what he worked. Okay? And it's not the same as the halacha in our Mishnah. It's a unique case. And that's because we're worried that he's not going to He's not going to bother investing because he knows any moment she can walk out.
But if that happens, the rest of the property has been sold to somebody else.
Why has it been sold? No, it hasn't been sold.
It hasn't been sold.
No, what we're talking about is if he invests in her property, what's the whole issue? We want to make sure he invests in the property. Now, if he knows that I'm going to eat my one fig, benachat, in my house, you know, and then she's going to walk out the door, because she can just walk out the door without any procedure, anything, then, and he's going to lose all his money, he's going to say, I'm not going to bother investing in this property. What's the point? And then her property is going to devalue, and you know, we're going to see that there's other reasons why we want him to invest in the property. And therefore, we're worried that's going to happen. So what do we say? We're not going to have it the typical din of the nichse melug. We're going to treat this in a different category, and we're going to say it's as if somebody who went into someone else's field and worked the field. It's just like the din of someone who went in someone else's field. Okay? Okay. Now we have another case. Hayi itata, there was a woman. Dinaflu arba me'azuze bechozai. She inherited 400 zuzim, but it happened to be in a very faraway place. I read somewhere that it's like a year's journey to get there. Okay? Now, Azil Gavra, so her husband went, Afik Shit Mea. He had to be motzi hotza'ot for this journey of a year, 600 zuz, okay? He invested more than what it was worth. Aite arba mea zuze bahad. Okay, so he brings back arba mea. Okay, he brings back the 400. Bahade de ka'ate, while he's on the way back, itzrich lechad zuza. He needed a zuz to use. V'shakel minayu, and he took from the 400 zuz. So he ran out of money, he needed some money, so he took one zuz. Atza the kamei de Rabbi Ami. They went before Rabbi Ami and said, okay, what's the story? Does he have to return to the 100 zuz, the one zuz, right? How does it work? Amarle, masho tzio tziu, masha achal achal. In other words, oh, and also, what about the 600 zuz he laid out, right? So what did they answer? Whatever you laid out. And whatever you ate. And so, gamarnu. In other words, this is exactly our case where hotsi harbe, right? Achal kima. So now, but they don't like this. Amrele Rabbana le Rabbi Ami, hani mile hecha de ka'achal pere. That's only, what did we talk about in our Mishnah? Where you have a field and he ate part of the pere, right? He ate a fig, let's say, or whatever it was. But ha karna ka'achil. Here he ate the keren. Ve'hotzahi. And it was a hotzah. It was an investment. Because he was investing in his journey to get back home. And that's not eating peyrot for his benefit. It's not even eating peyrot. And it was a hotzah. So what does he answer? So Rabbi Ami takes back what he says. He says, you're right. So what are they answering? Im ken habile hotzah. Hotzi v'lo achal. Therefore, this goes back to a different case in the Mishnah. This is a case where he was motzi 601 zuz, right? Or, you know, motzi out of his own money 600 zuz. V'lo achal, and he didn't benefit at all. So therefore, yishava kama hotzi v'yito. Okay, so he swears how much he invested, and he gets back that money. Now, in this case, we're going to see in a second, it's a little tricky, because now he's going to claims 600 zuz when he was only bringing her 400 zuz. So what happens in that case? So we're going to see this in a minute. Yishava kama hotzi v'yito. Amar of Asi, v'hu sheyesh shevach keneged hotza'ah. It's dependent on the fact that there be shevach against the hotza'ah. Okay, now what does this mean? L'may hilchata, don't worry, it's not clear yet what this means. Amar bayis, now we're going to see two different opinions here. She'im haya shevach, yeter al hotza'ah. Let's say the shevach was greater than the hotza'ah. Not this case. Let's say the hotza'ah was 400 and the shevach was 600. So now, what happens in that case? Notel et hotza'ah below shvu'ah. In that case, he can claim the 400 without even to swear. Okay? According to him, it's only if the shevach is equal to the hotza'ah or the hotza'ah is greater than the shevach, then he needs to swear. But if the hotza'ah is less, then he doesn't even need to swear. Rava doesn't like this. Amarle Rava im kein ati liarume. Then people can lie. If he doesn't need to swear, the whole reason to swear, let's say he was mostly 400 and it's now valued at 600. So he can claim, I put in 500. As long as he claims any amount less than 600, he doesn't need to swear. The whole reason to swear was to make sure he's not lying. Here he could lie. So Rava doesn't like this. So El Amarava, She'im haita hotza'ah yitera ala shevach. Let's say the hotza'ah was greater than the shevach. Ein lo ela hotzi'ah shir shevach. U'bishvua. What does he say? He says when they say it's only in this case, it doesn't mean that the other case you don't have to swear. What does he say? He says that if the hotza'ah was greater than the shevach, like in the case of the 400, 600, he invested 600, but only benefited her 400. So what happens? He can only take the amount of the shevach. He can only take 400. He can't take more than that. And he still needs to swear. Okay? So that's what we're saying. So two different approaches about, you know, how we view this. Okay. What if the husband went into a field and said, okay, I want the arisim to work in this field. Okay, so they work the field and then they get a percentage of the crops, right? So now what happens if before they take their percentages, they've been working the field, right? And then he dies or he divorces her. Now what happens? Okay. Mau. Adat hadbal nachi. Do we say, well, the arisim went because they worked for the husband? In other words, the Baal now is kicked out. He can't get benefit. So the arisim that he hired also can't get their percentages. Okay? Again, this would be obviously if they had eaten a little bit, right? But they hadn't gotten their full percentage. O Dilma, or do we say, Adata da Aranachit? They came to this property to work the land. Va'ara ki kaima la'arisa kaima. And as if the land is still there, so now it belongs to the woman, but he was just a messenger of whoever owned the land, and therefore they should get their rights. Matkifla Rav Bar Rav Chanan. Instead of getting an answer, we're getting a question on this question. Ma'ishna mehayored l'toch ske chavero unita'a shelo bereshut. Shamin lo v'yado ala tachtona. Why don't we say this is, why is this any different from someone who goes into his friend's field to work the field and plants it shelo bereshut? And what did we say? Because, right, he worked this field for the woman against her wishes. She never asked him to, right? So now, what did we say in that case? We figure out how much he spent. And what does it mean, yado ala tachtona? As long as he didn't spend more than the shevach, right? That's what we just said a minute ago. In other words, we give the husband, it's the same case as the husband. The husband gets, let's say he spent 400, he spent 600, the sadeh is worth 400, so he gets to claim 400, right? He can't claim the full 600, that's what it means, yado ala tachtona. Okay, whichever, right, if he invested 400 and the field's now worth 600, so he could take all 400. But if he invested 600 and the field is only worth 400 now, he can only take 400. That's what it means, yado ala tachtona, okay? So he does get his money, but he doesn't necessarily get his full money, depending on how much this field is valued. So why should it be any different than that, and why are they therefore you even asking? So what do they say? Hatam, in the case of Yored L'Sdeh Chavero Nita'a Shelo Bereshut, why do we say he gets all that? Because Leika Inish Detarach. There's no one else who would have worked that field. Nobody was working the field, so the guy went in and worked his friend's field. But Hacha Ikabal Detarach. But in this case, if the Aris hadn't come, the husband would have worked the field, right? Because it was his field to work. And therefore, the woman can say, I didn't need you to come. My husband would have done this. And if my husband would have done it, then I would give him nothing right now. Understand? Let's say, right, if this was the case where they had benefited, that he'd eaten a little bit, then as soon as the husband dies, the husband's out of the picture. So she's basically saying, yes, it's true, you weren't my field, but I didn't ask you to come. And if you hadn't come, what would have happened? It's in your red list, Chavero, if I hadn't worked the field, well, the guy wasn't working the field either. So basically, I've only benefited him. But she's saying, you've now made it worse for me, the fact that you came to my field. Because if my husband had worked the field, then what would have happened? At this moment, he would have walked out and I would get everything. So therefore, she says to him, you know, that's the difference. I didn't need you here. Ikabal detarach. So now they say, okay, so my haveala, so what's the case? That's all explaining why there's even a question here. So Am Rav Huna Bereit Rav Yoshua, Chazinan, Ibal Arisu Istiliklu Baal Istiliklu Istalku Lehu. We check. If the husband knows how to farm, okay, and he could have been an Aris himself, then we kick them out, because she really does have a good claim. She says, if you hadn't come, my husband would have worked the land, and therefore, get out of here. Like, I don't need to pay you. But if Iba love Arisu, but if the husband didn't know how to work the land, okay, he wasn't one of those guys, that maybe he was a guy sitting learning in yeshiva, and he doesn't know how to work the land, then Arala Arise Kaima, okay, then the Arisim, she has no claim, basically. She can't say, oh, my husband would have worked the land, because he wasn't going to be working any land, and therefore it was necessary to bring these Arisim, and therefore it's like Yored L'Steh Chavero Shelo Bereshud, right, because she never invited them to come, but they benefited her field. Without them, she would have no crops or anything. So therefore, they get their percentages. Ibai Elihu. New question. Baal Shamachar Karka LePeirot. Mahu. What if, remember, he has rights to the Peirot. So what if he sells the rights to the Peirot? Can he do that? Okay, what was the whole thing of the Nichsei Melug? Remember, we want him to work the land properly so that she ends up with good land. What if he says, yeah, well, this is mine. They made this takana. Now the Nichsei Melug, the Peirot are mine. I'm going to sell the Peirot. So, can he do that? Mi amrinan, my dekane akne. Since he acquired rights to the payroll, he acquired them, and if he wants to sell them, he can. O dilma, or do we say, ki tekinu le rabbanam payroll lebal, mishum rav chabeta, aval lizvune lo. Or do we say that when they gave him rights to the payroll, what was the purpose? The purpose was so that there would be fruits for the people in the house to benefit from. And if he sells it, right, then there's no fruits to benefit from. Now, obviously, the Mefreshim talk about what he means. He now has a big lump sum of money that he gained from these peirot. But the point is that peirot, or for Rav Chabeta, that it's an ongoing income, right? It's like taking a foundation, right? It invests its money, and the investment, right, with a...
It's interest.
It's interest. Interest from
can't
income.
Can't just sell the fruits from this year?
So some people say if he's selling just the fruits from this year, maybe that's okay. If he's, right, you can sell actual fruits and get money if you're going to, you know, let's say you're a guy who sells, but that's not the rights to the fruits, you know. Maybe he could sell it for a short period of time. It's complicated, okay? Mm-hmm. There's different, it depends. Now, some people say if he does and he invested in something else that's going to give him a monthly income, then he can do that too. The whole idea that it has to be set up in a way that he gets a monthly income and not one lump sum, which, you know, we all know, once someone has a one lump sum, they could just, you know, dump it into one thing or, you know, spend it all and then left with nothing. So that's the idea. We're going to see in a few minutes that there's another answer, but this is for right now what they're saying. Yehuda mar bar maremar mishmei derava amar. Masha... So this is the question. What do we say? If he sold the payroll, do we say it was a good kinyan, or do we say, no, kitzkina rabbana was because of Rav Chabeta, but not to sell it? So now they say, Yehuda bar Maremar says in the name of Rava, Masha asa asoy. If he sells them, it's a good kinyan. You could hear from his lashon that maybe it wasn't the best thing for him to do, but if he did it, he did it. He had rights to it. He sold his rights to it. Remember, the person who's buying it is buying it just for the fruits. He knows that the Karen's going to go back to the woman, but... Rav Papa Amar Mishmei Durava Lo Asava Lo Klum. Okay, two different explanations of what Rava said. So Rav Papa says, Lo Asava Lo Klum, he can't sell it and it's nothing. So Amar Rav Papa, now Rav Papa, who thinks that Rava said something different from what Yehuda Bar Maremar says, claims this. Hagi Yehuda Bar Maremar La Befei Rosh Itmar Ela Michlala Itmar. What does that mean? Rava never said this explicitly. Rav Yehuda Bar Maremar intuited this from a story he saw with Rava, and he obviously misunderstood. Okay, that's what Rav Papa's claiming. What was the story? Dahi itita da ailele legavra tarte amhata. She brought into the marriage two slave maidservants. Azal gavra, okay, the guy went, the husband, nasiv itita chrite, he married another woman, okay, two wives. Ayala chadaminayhu, he now gave her one of the shvachot to work for her. Okay, right. He obviously didn't transfer her rights of the shifcha, but she said this shifcha. He said this shifcha is going to work for you. So what did this? He took the nichsei melug, right, and gave it to somebody else. Ata the kamei de Rava. So the woman goes to Rava. Okay, tzavcha. She starts screaming like a crazy woman. Right? How could you? Lo eshkachba. He ignored her. Right? He didn't listen to her. Basically. So now, man de chaza savar mishum de savar masha soy asoy. Right? So Rabbi Yehuda Bar Maremar saw this and said it must be. He sold it to her, right? He gave it to his wife. He had rights to give it to somebody else. And look, that's what you see. But he says, Velohi. That's not the case. It's Mishum Rav Chabeta. Mishum Rav Chabeta. V'ha ka ravach. In other words, the whole reason to do this was because of what? Because we want to benefit the house. That's why he can't sell it. And in this way, by giving the shifcha to his second wife, it's for Rav Chabeta. You understand? In other words, it's good for the household. If she's got a servant working for her and she's got a servant, right? It just helps the household in general. She's part of all the same household. So here he's not giving it to some stranger. He's giving it to his second wife, which actually does benefit the house. And that's why he says he obviously misunderstood. V'hilchatan, the halacha is, Baal shemachar karka lepeiro lo asava lo klum. My time, huh? Okay, now this is interesting. So the halacha is lo asava lo klum. Now the Gemara asks my time. What do you mean my time? We just explained my time, right? Didn't we just explain that? Didn't we just say it's because it's Rav Chabeta and therefore you can't sell it? But now the Gemara obviously asks this question because there is another reason. Abai Amar Chayshinan Shema Tachsif. We're worried that if he sells it to someone, what's the whole idea? We talked about this before. It's two things. Number one, it's so that there's income coming in, but it's also so that nobody destroys the property. If you sell it to someone else, you have no idea what they're going to do with it, right? Like someone just told me they rented out their house over Pesach and the people had trashed their house, you know, and like, you know, you never know what's going to happen. If you give to somebody else, you don't know, are they responsible? They're going to take care of it or they're going to benefit the property? In the end, it's going to go back to the woman, and if they've destroyed it, then it's going to be bad for her. So Abai says Shema Tafsif, Rav Amar Mishum Rav Chabeta. Okay, so there's two different reasons given. My Binayu, what's the difference between them? Ike Binayu, Arev de Mikrav Lamata. If it's land that's close to the city, then you can keep your eyes on it and check. Mm-hmm. And therefore you can sell it if you just say Shema Tafsif, but you can't sell it if you say Mishum Rav Chabeta. Inami Bal Arisu. If the husband works the land, if he becomes an Aris on that property that he sold, then also he can make sure the property won't decline in value. Inami Zuze Vekaavi Bihu Iska. If he takes, and this is what we said before, if he takes money and he invests it in a business deal, then which will bring him income, right? Obviously, it depends what kind of business deal. Sometimes it could be beneficial, sometimes you could lose your money. But the point is, if he, same thing with your field, really. Your field could also go bad. So as long as he brings in money, then that will work Mishum Rav Chabeta, but it doesn't solve the issue of Chayshin and Shema Tachsif. Just one little note, I thought Rav and Abaye seemed very typical in their approaches. Rava, we talked about this before, Rava had a very good life, and his whole approach is like the more harmonious approach. And Abaye is often a little pessimistic, and has, you know, like a rough approach to life, because his parents died when he was born, and you know, he didn't have an easy life. And here he's saying, right, he's got the pessimistic view. Maybe it will get destroyed by the guy, right? Maybe he won't take care of it properly. And Rava says it's in order to benefit the household, right, which is the more positive approach. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was interesting. Okay, now we're going to get to a Mishnah that we actually learned part of it on in Yevamot, about a Shomeret Yabam. What's the status? Remember Shomeret Yabam. So she, her husband dies without kids. She hasn't yet married the Yabam. She's at the in-between stage where we've seen all sorts of ramifications for Truma, for other things. So she's at this in-between stage. She's not yet married him. And what if at that moment, while she's in this in-between stage, Naflula Nechasim, okay? Mm-hmm. She now inherits property. So does her Yabam have rights to the property? So Modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, both of them agree, right? Going back to the first mission of the Perek where they had all the sort of disagreements and agreed about some things. Modim Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Shemocheret V'notenet B'Kayam. Okay, if you recall, the likewise, if you say Shomeret Yabam is like Erusin, so in the Erusin case, Beit Hillel didn't think that she was allowed to sell. But in this case, he agrees that she's allowed to sell. Okay, L'chatchila. Meita, Ma Yasu B'Ktu Batau B'Nechasim HaNechnesim B'Yotzim Ima. Okay, what if she dies? So what do you do? Okay, she dies while she's a Shomeret Yabam. So she's not yet married to him, right? What happens with her ketubah money and the nichse melug? Okay? Beit Shammai omrim yachloku, yorshea baal im yorshea av. Okay, this is the Mishnah we saw, by the way. This was quoted. This was the part of the Mishnah we saw, and there were a whole different... the ketubah really breaks into two parts. The ketubah is, number one, the dowry, which is the nichse tzom barzel, okay? Which basically she gets, right, as opposed to the Nichse Melug. The Nichse Melug she gets exactly as they were when they came in, whether they've devalued or not. The Nichse Tzom Barzel, she gets at the value they were when they came into the marriage. Okay? So now, what happens with the Ketubah, which seems to include also the Nichse Melug, and the Nichse Tzom Barzel, and the Ketubah Mani, the Matayim Zuz, and the Tosefet. And what happens to the Nechasim HaNechnesim V'Yotzim, the Nichse Melug? Now, most of the way they understand this, when Beit Shammai says Yachloku, he's only talking about the Nichsei Melug, okay? Mm-hmm. Not about the rest of the stuff. So Beit Shammai Amrim, Yachloku Yorshei Abal Im Yorshei Av, when it comes to the Nichsei Melug, they get split 50-50, okay? Well, Beit Hillel Amrim, and here there's two different ways to read this also, Nichasim Bechez Katan, okay, there's a big girsa problem. Does it say Avav here, or does it not say Avav? Uktuba, okay, or does it just say Nechasim b'chez katan, psik, that's one case. Ktuba b'chez kat yorshei abal, that's the second case. And Nechasim b'nechasim v'yosim ima b'chez kat yorshei av. Or does it say Nechasim b'chez katan, meaning Uktuba b'chez kat yorshei abal, and Nechasim b'nechasim v'yosim ima b'chez kat yorshei av. There's two different ways to read it. We'll go with the symbol that there's basically three cases here, okay, that there's Nechasim bechez katan means that let's read it this way. The Nechasim bechez katan is the title, okay? The Nechasim stay wherever the chazaka was, okay? So now, what does this mean? The ketuba goes bechezkat yorshei habaal, okay? The ketuba, now the question is, does he mean the ketuba and the Nichsei Tzon Barzel, like the Matayim Zuz and the Tosefet, or does it not mean the Nichsei Tzon Barzel? That's the whole question. Maybe Nechasim Bechez Katan is talking about the Nichsei Tzon Barzel. It's unclear. Uktuba Bechez Kat Yorshei HaBaal, okay, and then the Ktuba goes to the Yorshei HaBaal, because really, right, it was in their property, right? They said, we'll give it to you if he dies, but now she was supposed to do Yibum, she didn't, so the Ktuba goes back to the father, to the original husband's property. And the nechasim, the nichsei melug, and nechasim v'yotzim ima b'chezkat yorshei ha'av. Okay, those things go back to her father's property because they were hers to begin with, right? The other way of reading this says it's like this, and this is very interesting. The nichsei tzon barzel, if you say that nechasim b'chezkatan means the nichsei tzon barzel, so nobody knows what that means. What does it mean b'chezkatan? Who's the chezkat, the nichsei tzon barzel? So there's another machloket in Bava Batra about the nichsei tzon barzel. It's about, it's not a case of a yabam, and that's the question. Is it the same machloket there as it is here or not? And there's a three-way machloket. Whether the nechtzei tzon barzel belong to the father's, you know, her father's property, do they belong to the husband, or do they split 50-50? So then you'd explain this, nechaz katan will depend on how you paskin in that machloket there. Okay, so there's all different interpretations about whether we say we split a 50-50, it goes to the father, it depends. So there's like many, many different ways, both of reading this, and once you read it, if you read it this way, there's still a machloket about what happens to the Nechsei Tzon Barzel. So Nechsei Tzon Barzel are the most complicated, nobody really knows 100%. Okay, so as you could say, based on that machloket and Moraim, we pask in there that we split 50-50, and then it would be split 50-50. Alternatively, if you read this Mishnah, that the ketuba b'chezkat yorshei haba'al is talking about the nichsei tzon barzel also, then it would go to the nichsei baal, and then it wouldn't be split 50-50. So there's all different ways of reading it. Okay. Hiniach achiv ma'ot. What if he left over money? Okay, so now... Now we have a big issue, and this is going to take us to the end of the Mishnah. When the woman, now what happened? We talked about in the past that when she marries the Yabam, he becomes her husband, all the rights, except for what? The ketubah is still taken from the brother's property. If the ketubah is taken from the brother's property, then basically all the brother's property is now mishu'abad to the ketubah. That's, we have to keep the principle of all this property because maybe we'll need it. We're going to need it to pay the woman, so we have to put his property like in a, you know, like in a foundation or something, like in a bank account, escrow account. So now the question is: does this apply also to mitaltalin or only to karka? Okay. So now they say, what if hiniach achiv ma'ot? So now they say, if he had money, yilakach behen karka v'uochel perot. Okay, again, it's not exactly an escrow account. That's why I was thinking more like a trust fund, where the brother can live off the income, but the principal has to be kept. So even if there are ma'ot, okay, money, we have to turn it into karka. Perot ha-tlushim, and now this is going to be very similar to the other mission we saw with the woman, right? So perot ha-tlushim in a karka, what if he has all these fruits that are already... cut, harvested. Yilakach behen karka v'uochel perot. Same thing. turned it into money, into property. Hamachubarim bekarka, what if they're already attached to the land? Amar Rabbi Meir, now the whole question was, when he died, right, and the guy became the Shomer Yabam, right, what's he called? She's the Shomer Yabam, he's called, I guess he's just the Yabam. So anyway, if there were fruits that were attached to the tree at the time, do we view this as karka? Is it part of the principal? Or is it peyrot? Okay, so now there's a machloket. Rabbi Meir says, "Shamin otam kama hayin yafim beperot, but kama hayin yafim below perot." V'hamotar yelkach b'em karka. We look at this as principle. We have to turn it into a karen. We have to turn it into karka. V'hu ochel perot, and then he can eat the perot from that new karka. V'chachamim omrim perot hamachuberim b'karka shilo. They're just perot. He gets to eat them. V'atlushim in a karka, and he has a different opinion also about the talush. Ones that are talush min a karka. Okay, whoever comes first gets them. Okay, this is a really interesting halacha. We're going to get into this in lots of cases later. That whoever got it first, you know, got it, which is a very strange halacha. Kidem hu zacha kadmahi yelakach bem karka v'ochel perot. If he grabs it first, he gets to eat them. If she grabs it first, then it has to be turned into her ketubah. In other words, it has to, you know, if she says these are for my ketubah, then we have to turn them into karka, and he can eat the perot. Kansa, once he marries her, that was all Shomer Yabam. Once he marries her, Hareki Sholachol Davar, Bilvaj take Ketubatan, Lechse Bala Rishon, right? The Ketubah is still the first guy's responsibility. Okay, you know, we'll stop here for today. Okay, we'll finish up the Mishnah tomorrow. Chag Sameach.